And now your speaker in this lesson is Tim Canup.
The greatest obstacle in this life is sin. Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 and 2 tells us that our sin and our iniquity is what separates us from God. Sin is the transgression of God's law, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. The word sin literally means to miss the mark. With sin in our lives, we are separated from God, and therefore we are lost spiritually. Being lost means that we have a need for salvation. When we recognize that because of sin we are lost and in need of salvation, then where should we turn in order to find a remedy? Is there a remedy? If any person should seek an answer to the question, "What must I do to be saved?" a person will quickly learn that there are many different answers given to this question in the religious world. The truth is, the Bible provides the only answer that is a correct answer and that will be accepted by God. Man is not hopelessly lost in sin. There is a remedy. Look at God's plan for salvation and what He has required from us in order for us to be saved. First, let's notice that we are saved by grace. It is absolutely true that we are saved by the grace of God. This is what the Bible teaches, and we make no effort to deny that. Let us begin by establishing what is meant by grace. Grace has been accurately defined as unmerited favor or as an undeserved gift. It is the case that God has extended to man His grace in that He has provided a way of salvation for man, who is not nor can ever do anything to deserve such a wonderful gift as God has bestowed upon us through His Son Jesus the Christ. Let us look at some passages concerning this. A very popular passage is John chapter 3 and verse 16, where Jesus said in a discussion with Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It was because of His great love that God extended His grace to us. We have not done anything to deserve such wonderful love. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth," or demonstrated, "His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Again, we see God's grace in providing the sacrifice of His Son on the cross of Calvary for us. God's unmerited favor was extended to us when we did not deserve such. God's grace is a wonderful subject to talk about. However, nowhere in the Bible does it say that we are saved by grace alone. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, and we will look at verse 9 in a later lesson. But in verse 8, the Apostle Paul there wrote, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." Paul said that we are saved by grace, but notice, dear friend, Paul did not say that we are saved by grace alone. Rather, Paul said, "For by grace are ye saved through faith," and the faith that is used here is not of our personal faith or belief, but rather it is used to describe the gospel system of faith. Another passage we can consider is Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, where Paul wrote, "The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." If it is the case that grace alone is what saves us, and Paul said that grace has appeared to all men, then it is either the case that all men will be saved regardless of how they live, or God is responsible for any man who is lost. The grace of God that hath brought salvation makes it possible for all people to be saved if they are willing to obey the plan of salvation God has set forth in the New Testament. It is true that we are saved by the grace of God. We are thankful to God for extending to us His marvelous grace. But we are not saved by God's grace alone. Let me kindly challenge anyone to find one single passage in the New Testament that teaches that we are saved by the grace of God alone, without any further acts of obedience on our part. Dear friends, it simply is not there. Next, let us consider the fact that we are saved by faith, but not faith alone. Consider with me what faith is. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. The writer of the book of Hebrews explains to us what faith is when he said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." There are many in our world who believe and teach that faith is a leap in the dark. Dear friends, this simply is not so. Our faith is based upon the evidences. We should come to such conclusions as are warranted by the evidence. You see, in John chapter 20, we read of the account of Thomas, and some refer to him as Doubting Thomas. I choose not to. You see, all Thomas was asking for is the evidence. Now, if he rejected that evidence, then certainly he would be Doubting Thomas. After he saw the nail prints in Christ's hands and the wound from the spear in his side, Thomas said in verse 28, "My Lord and my God." Then notice verses 29 through 31, John wrote, "Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. John said that the things that were recorded for us in the New Testament were for the purpose of producing faith. They serve as a body of evidence. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, Paul concurred with this when he said, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Our faith is based upon the evidence God has given to us in his word. What then does our faith do for us? Does our faith, without any other acts of obedience, save us? Many teach that we are saved at the very moment of our faith, or by our faith alone. What does the Bible say? Many have even attempted to use the Bible to defend such a doctrine. Dear friends, it is my goal this morning to show you that they are misusing the Scriptures to teach faith without any further acts of obedience, and such is not the case. You see, in John chapter 3 and verse 16, Jesus told Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I believe this passage. I believe that Jesus said it, and that it is as true as it can be. However, dear friends, I do not believe this is the only thing Jesus taught in order for us to be saved. I believe that Jesus taught that we are saved by our faith, but he did not say, dear friends, by our faith alone. This passage uses a figure of speech that puts the part for the whole. In other words, Jesus mentions only a part of what is involved in salvation to describe the whole process. This type of language is used throughout the Bible. For example, in Acts chapter 5 and verse 9, in the account of Ananias and Sapphira, Peter told Sapphira, "Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Dear friends, was it the case that only sets of feet were at the door? Certainly not. What we have here is a part for the whole. Peter uses feet here to describe people. Now, in John chapter 3 and verse 16, Jesus uses belief or faith to describe the whole. Why does he do that? Because it is our faith that motivates us or moves us to obey the commandments that God has given. If someone does not have faith, they will not seek to obey any of the commandments that he has given. You see, Jesus taught that we must believe or we will be lost. Luke 13 and verse 3, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Jesus also taught that we must confess him in order to be saved. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Why then If these things are important, did Jesus tell Nicodemus that whosoever believeth in him should not perish? Dear friends, it is because if a person truly believes, then he will obey Jesus' command to repent, Jesus' command to confess, and he will also obey Jesus' command to be baptized according to what he commanded in Mark 16 and verse 16, and that to obtain salvation. Notice in John chapter 3, two verses later in verse 18, Jesus there said, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." He that believes, truly believes, and obeys all the commandments can obtain the forgiveness of their past sins. Without belief or faith, a person will not obey the commands that have been given, and therefore they are condemned because of disobedience. Let us notice some other passages concerning our faith. Consider with me John chapter 1 and verse 12. John there records, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Dear friends, in this verse, we see that those who receive Jesus the Christ, that means that those who believe or have faith in him and accept what he teaches concerning salvation, or to become sons of God. Yet this passage does not say that they were already saved. It says that God gave them the power or the right or authority to become the sons of God. Dear friends, if faith made them a child of God, then why did he say that God gave them the power to become children of God? By their faith, they could become something they were not yet. Faith alone could not make them a child of God. It could give them the power or the right to become one. How? By the obedience to the other commandments. Let's look at another passage. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Some have read this passage and say, we are saved by our faith alone. Remember, we cannot base any doctrine on one verse alone. Neither can we take that verse out of its proper context. In verse 23 of this same chapter, Paul wrote, "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed." In this passage, the law refers to the law of Moses. Now consider this statement, "but before faith came." Under the law of Moses, did they have personal faith or belief? Did such men as Moses, Joshua, and David have personal faith? Of course they did. What does it mean then, before faith came, if it is not our personal faith or our personal belief? Dear friends, it has to mean the gospel system of faith. Before the gospel came, those living were under the law of Moses. In the context of Galatians 3, faith is used to describe the gospel system of faith. Look at some other places where faith is used to describe the gospel, such as Jude verse 3. Jude told them that they should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He's talking about the gospel being given to Christians. Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, "The word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." They obeyed the gospel system of faith. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, Paul said, "There is one faith." Dear friends, there is only one gospel. There's only one gospel system of salvation. So going back to Galatians 3 and verse 26, we are all the children of God by the faith, the gospel system faith, in Christ Jesus. In verse 27, we are told how we get into Christ. Dear friends, please note the difference between the prepositions in and into. We cannot say that we are in Christ until we first enter into Christ, no more than we can say that we are in our house before we enter into our house. Well, how do we enter into Christ? Man says that it is at the very moment of our faith without any further acts of obedience. Dear friends, the Bible teaches, notice, the Bible teaches, not me, that we get into Christ by putting Him on in baptism. Galatians 3 and verse 27. Paul said, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Dear friends, notice, nowhere in the Bible can anyone find that we believe into Christ, but we do read that we are baptized into Christ. Consider Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Someone may then ask, can you give one example of someone who had faith that was not saved? We sure can. Notice with me in John chapter 12, verses 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on Him, on Christ, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Dear friends, they believed on Christ, but they did not confess Him, and Jesus clearly taught in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, that without confession, we cannot be saved. Also, James chapter 2 and verse 19. James says, the devils also believe and tremble. Dear friends, the devils are not saved, but they have faith. By the examples of the Bible, we can see that we are saved by our faith, but it is only when our faith motivates us to obey the other commandments that God has given to us in the New Testament. You see, our goal is to obtain the promise of God, which is eternal salvation. Our faith causes us to fulfill the conditions that have been given by God Himself. God has never fulfilled a promise to mankind without any conditions being fulfilled. Notice an example of this with me in Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30, we read, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Notice that the promise was to the children of Israel and that it was the giving to them of the city of Jericho. God gave them conditions in order to obtain that promise. They were to march around the walls of the city a certain number of times and days and to blow on the ram's horn. Those walls did not fall because of their faith alone. It did not fall at the very moment they had faith, but rather the text says that they fell after they had obeyed the commandments that God had given. Marching and blowing ram's horns have nothing to do with walls falling down. Those walls fell because they obeyed the commandment that God had given, and God fulfilled His promise to the people. It was by their faith that they obeyed. If they did not have faith in God, then they would not have marched around the city. They would have rather argued, well, what does marching around the walls and blowing of ram's horns have to do with walls falling? But they had faith in God, they trusted Him, and they obeyed the commandment that He gave to them. Many today claim that they have faith, yet they will question God and His reasoning in His command to be baptized. Many will say, well, what does that have to do with our salvation? In James chapter 2, James taught, verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, works of obedience, is dead being alone. Verse 24, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith alone, dear friends, is a dead faith, and a dead faith can never save anyone. Faith must be coupled with obedience. Dear friends, this harmonizes perfectly with Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Paul said, for by grace are ye saved through the faith, through the gospel, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, works of merit, lest any man should boast. James spoke of works of obedience. Paul spoke of works of merit. We must obey all of the commandments that God has given in the New Testament. We must have faith. Without it, we cannot be saved. John chapter 8 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. By our faith, we must obey the command to repent of our sins. Luke 13 and verse 3. Acts 17 and verse 30. By our faith, we must obey the command to confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. And by our faith, we must obey the command that God has given to be baptized into Christ. Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Galatians chapter 3, verses 27. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Dear friend, the Bible teaches that there are many different aspects to our salvation. We do not have the liberty to pick and to choose what we like and to leave out what we do not like. Dear friend, the Bible teaches that we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. Revelation 1 and verse 5. But the Bible also teaches that we are saved by the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. The Bible teaches that we're saved by our faith. John 3 and verse 16. But the Bible also teaches that we are saved by our obedience to the gospel system of faith. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9. There are many other things that we could list. Please understand, dear friends, that we are not saved by any one thing alone. We are neither saved by our faith alone, nor by the grace of God alone. Dear friends, we're not advocating that we earn or merit our salvation. We are saved by the grace of God and our obedience to the gospel system of faith, which was given by God's grace.
Your speaker has been Tim Knupp.